So thinking about switching to a tech career, huh?
A lot of people are these days.
Yeah, it's a pretty hot topic. And well, lucky for you, today we're doing a deep dive
Oh,
into
perfect timing.
exactly. We're diving into an episode from the Cerebricks podcast.
Okay.
And they actually talked to three different people
All right.
who made the leap into tech from some pretty, you would think, unrelated fields.
Oh, interesting. Like what?
Retail teaching and accounting.
Wow, that is quite a
Yeah,
range.
so we're going to unpack their journeys, pull out like the best advice we can to
I
help
see.
you, the listener, who's thinking about making this transition yourself.
Awesome.
And the really cool thing is that despite
Yeah.
these totally different backgrounds, there are some common threads that kind of tie their journeys together.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, and those are the things that we're going to kind of focus on today.
Love it.
So first up is Maria Sanchez.
Okay.
Now, she went from managing a retail store
Okay.
to being a data scientist. Yeah, so she told Cerebricks that she'd always loved numbers and like analyzing customer behavior and buying patterns, and that's
Oh,
what
makes sense.
kind of sparked her interest in data science.
So she saw that connection between her retail experience
Right.
and data.
She was already kind of doing it in a way.
Yeah, exactly. She's doing data analysis just
Yeah.
in a different setting.
Totally. So instead of going back to school, Maria decided to teach herself, basically.
Yeah.
So she took all these online courses
Cool.
through Udacity, Coursera, all those kinds of websites, mastering Python, SQL, all things data.
That's impressive.
But here's the thing. She didn't just like sit there and passively learn. She was really proactive in finding ways to apply what she was learning.
So smart. Because you can learn all the theory in a world, but if you don't actually use
Right.
it doesn't really stick, does it?
No. And this is something I think people miss a lot.
Yeah.
So what did she do?
I'm dying to know.
She joined a bunch of these online data science communities.
Oh, cool.
And she did these data challenges that they would put out, and she even built her own little project.
So she built her own data science boot camp, basically.
Yeah, from scratch.
That is so cool.
No formal tech background, but I'm sure learning to code from scratch was, a
It
challenge.
had to be. I mean, where do you even begin?
Right. Well, she actually talked about this on the Cerebricks podcast, and she admitted that it was really intimidating at first.
I can only imagine.
But she had a really good approach. Instead of like trying to jump in and build some super complex app right away, she started with small projects,
Makes sense.
achievable projects, and built up to the more complicated stuff.
I love that. Breaking those big goals down
Right?
into small steps, it makes it so much less overwhelming
Exactly.
and way more achievable.
Yeah. So it's a great tip for you guys out there listening.
Absolutely. Start small, build momentum, and celebrate those wins.
Okay, let's move on to James Edwards.
All right,
So he
James.
was actually a middle school science teacher.
Okay.
And he left that to go into software development.
Really? What pushed him to make such a big change?
Well, he mentioned on Cerebricks that he always loved problem solving, building things. So being a teacher, I mean, that kind of uses those skills, but
Yeah, in a different way.
he wanted to take it to the next level.
Okay, I get it.
So he saw coding as a way to create stuff and bring ideas to life.
Makes sense.
So he did a coding boot camp.
Oh, wow. Those are intense,
Yeah, they're
right?
pretty intense. And he went from zero coding experience to full stack development in just 3 months.
3 months, hold on.
Yeah.
Full stack. What does that even mean?
Okay, so full stack development means he learned front end, which is like what you see on website, how you interact with it, then the back end, which is all that behind the scenes stuff.
All the data and the logic and all that.
Exactly. So he learned HTML, CSS, JavaScript for the front end, and probably Python for the back end.
That's a lot to learn in 3 months.
That's a lot to cram in. And James's advice to anyone thinking about a boot camp was be ready for a really steep learning curve.
No kidding. It's like cramming years of computer science into a few months.
Yeah.
You've got to be ready to put in the work.
And you have to be okay with that intensity.
For sure. But was that it? Did he just stop learning after the boot camp?
Well, he said that the community support was huge.
Oh, that makes sense. Having people to lean on
Yeah.
and bounce ideas off of.
And actually, he got his first developer job through a connection.
Oh,
He
nice.
made it to boot camp.
Networking always pays off.
But he still kept building his own projects after.
That's key, right? You can't just stop learning in tech.
No, you got to stay on top of things. It's constantly changing.
Absolutely. So the boot camp's a good start, but it's just the beginning.
Totally. Now, our next career changer, Priya Patel. She went from accounting
okay.
to, wait for it, cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity. Wow. How did she even make that connection?
So as an accountant, she was dealing with all this like sensitive financial data.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually made her think more about data protection.
I see.
On a larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she got into cybersecurity.
So cool how those seemingly unrelated fields
right.
can connect like that.
And did she go back to school and get a computer science degree?
I'm guessing not, based on the other stories.
Nope, she didn't. She decided to start by getting the CompTIA Security Plus certification.
Okay, I've heard of that. It's pretty well respected in cybersecurity, right?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a stamp of approval, like, hey, I know the basics of cybersecurity.
Gotcha. But she didn't stop there, did she?
Nope. She wanted to specialize, so she took all these courses in network security.
Okay.
And get this, ethical hacking.
Ethical hacking? Wait, is that even legal?
It is. It is.
I had no idea.
Ethical hackers are like the good guys. They find the vulnerabilities in systems before the bad guys do. So they do things like penetration testing.
Penetration testing sounds intense.
Yeah, it's like they simulate a cyber attack.
Oh, wow.
To find the weaknesses.
That's fascinating. But I imagine going from accounting, which is all about rules and structure, to cybersecurity,
yeah,
had to be a pretty big adjustment.
Huge. Well, she said on Sarah Breaks that the biggest hurdle was all the technical jargon.
Yeah, it's basically a whole new language.
And she had to completely shift her mindset.
Right. Instead of just following the rules, she had to learn to anticipate threats and come up with creative solutions.
Exactly.
So how did she make that leap?
Well, she spent tons of time in virtual labs.
Mm-hmm.
Like simulating real world cyber attacks.
So hands-on learning.
Very hands-on. And she also made sure to stay up to date.
Right. Cybersecurity is always changing.
Yeah. So she read all these blogs and went to like virtual events.
That makes sense.
So Priya's journey really shows that there are multiple pathways into tech.
Yeah. You don't necessarily need a computer science degree. Certifications, courses, hands-on experience, it all adds up.
And it shows the value of combining all of those things.
For sure.
But before we move on, I wanted to touch on something they all mentioned, dealing with self-doubt.
Oh, yeah. I bet that's a common feeling, especially when you're switching careers and feeling like you don't have the right background.
Totally.
It's huge, especially in tech where it feels like everyone
right.
came out of the womb knowing how to code.
Exactly. So how did they get past those feelings? Like, how'd they stay motivated?
Well, Maria had this really good point about the value of different backgrounds.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, she said on the podcast.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate your past experience. The skills and knowledge you've picked up, they could be your secret weapon in tech.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to get hung up on what you don't have.
Totally.
Instead of thinking about what you do bring to the table.
Yeah, focus on your strengths.
Exactly.
And James, he talked about remembering your why.
Oh.
Like, why did you make this career change in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
Keeping that purpose top of mind can really help you push through those rough patches.
Totally. Like having that North Star.
Yeah, exactly.
To guide you.
And you know, it's easy to get overwhelmed.
Oh, for sure.
When you're learning so much new stuff.
Totally.
James also talked about the importance of celebrating those small wins.
Oh, I like that.
You know, just taking a moment to acknowledge your progress, no matter how small.
Yeah.
It can really help you stay motivated.
Like those milestones along a trail.
Exactly. Yeah. Little markers that tell you you're headed in the right direction.
Okay, so they had the why, they celebrated the small wins. What about, like, connecting with others? Did they have any tips on that?
Oh, yeah. Priya, she had a really good strategy for that. You know, she surrounded herself with people who had also made career pivots.
Oh, smart.
Like, people who really got it. And hearing their success stories,
yeah,
you know, and sharing experiences, it really helped her realize she wasn't alone.
I think that's where networking and mentorship come in.
Yeah. 100%. Finding those people who understand what you're going through,
right,
who can offer guidance, it makes all the difference.
So it's like having a cheerleading squad for your career.
Totally. Cheering you on every step of the way.
Okay, so big takeaways here.
Yeah.
We've seen three very different paths into tech, but all three of them, they took charge of their learning.
Yes.
They stuck with it through the challenges,
uh-huh,
and they found support along the way.
It really shows you that anyone can do it, you mm-hmm. know, if they're willing to put in the work.
And that it's not just about the technical stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's huge. Soft skills are so important in tech, just like anywhere else.
Like communication and collaboration, problem solving, all that stuff.
Exactly. Being able to work well with others, that's crucial. And Maria, James, and Priya, they all had to use those soft skills throughout their journeys.
So how do they use those skills specifically? Like, give me some examples.
Okay, well, Maria, she had to explain complex data to people who weren't data experts.
Right.
So her communication skills had to be on point.
Okay.
And James, he had to work on coding projects with other developers.
Right.
So collaboration was key. And Priya, she had to think like a hacker to figure out how to protect systems.
Right.
So her problem-solving skills were super important.
So, I mean, even though you're going into this tech field, don't forget about those soft skills that you've built in other jobs.
They're gold. In fact, a lot of tech companies are actually looking for people with diverse backgrounds and those strong soft skills.
Yeah, it brings a different perspective.
Exactly. It's not just about the technical stuff.
Now, one of the things I know that holds a lot of people back
from
switching careers is this fear of starting over.
Mm-hmm. It's a big one.
You're leaving behind, you know, something familiar.
Comfortable.
And diving into something totally new.
It's scary.
It can be really scary.
But what if we looked at it a different way, instead of a step backward? What if it's a chance to grow, to reinvent yourself?
Okay, I like that.
The tech industry is all about change and pushing boundaries.
So tap into your hidden potential.
Yeah.
Explore those passions.
Exactly. And as we've seen, it's never too late to make a change.
So true. Okay, so let's say our listener is feeling inspired.
Yeah.
They're ready to jump in.
Okay.
Where do they even begin? Like building a network in a whole new field.
It can feel really daunting, right?
Yeah, it's like a puzzle with missing pieces.
I know, but it doesn't have to be a mystery. A good place to start is to actually look at your existing connections.
Okay.
You might be surprised who you already know who's working in tech or who has connections to the industry.
It's that whole it's who you know thing.
Yeah, kind of, but it's more about leveraging those relationships to open doors.
Okay, so what if you don't have any direct connections in tech?
No problem. There are tons of ways to build your network. Go to industry events, conferences, meetups. They're great for meeting people and seeing what different companies are all about.
And don't forget about online platforms like LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah. LinkedIn is gold. Connect with people, join relevant groups, start conversations.
Get your name out there.
Exactly. And remember, networking isn't about collecting business cards or trying to sell yourself.
Right.
It's about building genuine relationships, learning from others, sharing your own experiences.
Okay, now let's talk about salary expectations.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. How do you even know what to ask for when you're switching careers?
Exactly. Like, how does your old salary translate?
Well, first things first, do your research. Use websites like Glassdoor, Salary.com. See what the typical range is for the jobs you're interested in your area.
Okay, so don't assume your old salary will just transfer over.
Right. Tech salaries can be all over the map depending on experience, location, company size, the specific role.
Lots of factors.
Tons of factors. And when you are negotiating, be prepared to talk about those transferable skills and experiences that you're bringing from your previous career. Like, quantify your accomplishments whenever you can.
So, like, if you managed a team or a budget.
Exactly.
In your previous role, highlight those achievements.
Yeah, because it shows how your skills translate to the new position.
Okay, and don't be afraid to push back a bit.
Yes. If that initial offer isn't quite what you were hoping for, don't be afraid to counter.
So know your worth.
Exactly. Know your worth and don't be shy about advocating for yourself.
Right.
Okay, I want to touch on something that I know can be a bit of a sensitive topic.
Okay.
For some career changers.
Yeah.
That age thing.
Oh, yeah. You're worried that your age might be a problem.
I mean, tech has this reputation, right, for being all about the young and the new.
Yeah.
Is that really true?
Well, it's normal to wonder about that. But remember, your age can actually be a really big advantage.
Oh, okay. How so?
You've got experience. You've got maturity.
Right.
You bring a different perspective.
Yeah, that's valuable.
So don't let that number hold you back.
You're more than just a number.
Right.
Your passion, your willingness to learn, that's what really matters.
Okay, now let's talk about career coaches.
Career coaches, yeah.
Have you ever worked with one?
I haven't, but I've heard great things.
They can be really helpful for people who are making these career transitions.
Especially if you're feeling a little lost or overwhelmed.
Yeah.
They can give you that personalized guidance, help you figure out your strengths, what you really want to do, and how to get there.
Yeah, like create a roadmap.
Exactly. Plus, a lot of career coaches who specialize in tech, they really know the industry inside and out. They can give you great advice on the hiring process and what skills are in high demand right now.
So it's like having a personal guide through the tech world.
Exactly. Someone to cheer you on and hold you accountable. If you're feeling stuck, I think a career coach can be a great investment.
Okay, now let's talk about that dreaded cover letter.
Ugh, the cover letter.
I know, but it's important.
It is. It's your chance to make a good first impression. Show them who you are, why you're passionate about tech, and why you're perfect for the specific role.
So how do you make your cover letter stand out? Like, what are some tips?
Okay, first of all, try to address it to a real person.
Right.
Like, take a few minutes, do some research, find the hiring manager's name,
okay,
or whoever's in charge of the role.
Personalize it.
Exactly. It shows that you care, that you've done your homework. Then, in that first paragraph, you want to grab their attention. State why you're interested in the role, mention a couple of key skills or experiences, and let your enthusiasm shine through.
So make it clear why you're excited about this specific opportunity.
Yes. Then, in the body of the letter, that's where you go into more detail. Expand on your skills, talk about how they match what the job requires. Use specific examples to show, not just tell, what you can do. And whenever you can, try to quantify your accomplishments.
So instead of saying, I'm a great problem solver, give a concrete example of a time you solved a tough problem in a previous role.
Exactly. And in that final paragraph, reiterate your enthusiasm. Let them know you're eager to learn more, to contribute to the company. Thank them for their time. End it professionally.
Oh, and proofread.
Oh my gosh. Yes, proofread. A typo-filled cover letter is not going to get you anywhere.
Now, throughout this whole career transition journey, don't forget to celebrate your wins.
Oh, that's so important. It's so easy to get bogged down in the stress of it all, to forget to acknowledge your own progress.
Right, like making a career change, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You should be proud of yourself.
Exactly. Celebrate those milestones. Take a minute to think about the challenges you've overcome, the new things you've learned, all the progress you've made, and reward yourself for all that hard work. Whether it's a little treat or a weekend getaway or just some time to relax and recharge, acknowledging your accomplishments can really keep you motivated.
It's like those trail markers on a long hike. They remind you of how far you've come and give you that extra push to keep going.
Totally. Well, I think we've covered a lot today.
Yeah, we've really dug deep.
Any final thoughts for our listeners who are thinking about taking that leap into tech?
Honestly, hearing those stories from Maria, James, and Priya, it's incredibly inspiring.
It's a good reminder that it can be done.
It shows that no matter what your background is, if you're willing to put in the work, if you're dedicated to learning, and you're not afraid to step outside your comfort zone, you can find success in the tech world.
It's about having that courage to go for it.
And remembering that those transferable skills, that continuous learning, that support network, they're all crucial.
And don't let self-doubt hold you back. We all have those moments.
So as we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought. What unique skills, what perspective can you bring to the tech world based on your experiences? Your background, it's not a weakness, it's a strength. Embrace it. Use it to your advantage.
The tech industry needs people with diverse backgrounds and experiences. Your journey, your skills could be exactly what a tech company is looking for. Don't underestimate yourself.
Go out there, explore those possibilities. Make your mark on the world of tech.